Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. Tonight's show is really interesting for our self-growth. It's about finding that inner truth, your true self, actually your true voice. What is your true voice saying? What is all the other stuff saying? But to clarify that, to help us understand how to find our inner truth, our true voice, is an author of a new book called The Voice. And actually, the author of this book is a best-selling author, and he's on the show tonight. It's Brian Allman. Brian.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'm so glad you could be on. I really enjoyed reading your book. It's got so much support and clarity and explanation of how we sabotage ourselves constantly unless we know how to find that inner truth that helps us guide ourselves through our adversities.
It's true. It's true. People, we all need to learn how to get out of our own way. The biggest challenge is that we try to repress or push down or get away from negativity or difficult emotions or overthinking, where in fact it turns out all of those are bridges, not walls, as long as you know how to take care of yourself and get to your own voice.
Now, so many people think that they can fix things. And that's what we're trying. We're trying to be smart. You know, it makes sense. We have a problem. You know, we're caught in our conflict, and we're looking for answers.
Right.
And
right.
Yet we're designed from our childhood, let's say conditioned, from our childhood, that there might be parts of us that we're not happy about.
Right. Right. Well, truthfully, Peter, with the point you're making about conditioning is really a very high-level point, right on track. And I would safely say that every single person on the planet has things about them that they do not like. And I would say almost all the time, people are trying to do exactly what you said, Peter. They're trying to improve. They're trying to fix. They're trying to feel better. They're trying to think more clearly. They're trying to be their smartest self. And that's true. We all have an ongoing dialogue inside of us that I describe as the 15th row inner critic or judge, like it's the movie of your life or the play of your life. And sitting in the 15th row of your theater is your inner critic.
Well, it's like saying, you know, you're trying to accomplish something different in your life. Change something. And you might have something going on in your mind saying, don't kid yourself.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's not that you might have, you will have. Everybody has an ongoing, never shuts up, thinks that we're never good enough, a part of us, the theme is never satisfied, it's our inner perfectionist, and just really, it's easy to think of it as your brain or your head or your as I call it, your 15th row inner critic. Let me put it to you this way, Peter. I've been doing this work for 33 years, helping people all over the world, and I'm passionate about helping people help themselves. And the 15th row inner critic, inner judge, never satisfied, has a lifetime membership.
Well, I think the strict role of that inner critic is it's a measuring tool. And it tries to measure everything.
Well put. You think of it as the inner accountant in charge of money, the inner monitor, evaluator, analyst, and we all have it. We're not getting rid of it. I've even traveled to India twice to meet enlightened gurus to see if anybody really ever gets rid of their inner critic. I never met anybody that did.
Even these gurus.
Right. Well, what I discovered over there on my trips is that gurus or Buddhists or very religious, spiritual people that spend all day hours every day working on themselves, they are just very efficient and very quick at moving out of or utilizing their 15th row critic, but they don't ever get rid of it because so much of our brain and our consciousness is devoted to being this kind of discerning, figuring out right from wrong, trying to make things better. It actually is quite purposeful. It's been with us for millions of years in evolution, so we're probably not going to get rid of it in a year or two.
Right, and people might say, that's my mind. I'm not going to tell my mind to leave me alone because I need my mind.
Correct, and that's exactly right. I mean, that is the right point, is that you do need this inner critic, and the big sort of paradigm shift in my book, The Voice, in working with all these tens of thousands of people from all over the world, is that the inner critic, that 15th row judge, that conditioned by your mommy and dad or family members, certainly perpetuated by yourself, it has real value. And the worst thing you could do is repress it or try to get rid of it or spend your lifetime trying to not listen to it. Because instead of spending decades trying to get rid of it, as soon as you learn how to listen to it and work with it, you can work through things in 5-10 minutes, a couple of minutes, an hour. Very efficient, very quickly.
Now, when
you just have to learn how.
When you talk about working through things, this is... This is a very profound technique because you're also talking about getting rid of physical pain as well.
Yes, it's true. Well, it's interesting that the theme holds whether you are trying to relax and learn from your 15th row critic or relax and learn from all your different emotions like sadness or fear or frustration or whatever the feelings are that you have, good and bad, all of them, as well as physical discomfort, physical pain, which is how I got in the field to begin with, was because of my own back pain. That the theme, the approach holds true for all of them, which is instead of trying to get rid of your pain, instead of trying to focus on what's wrong with your body, which would be a 15th row critic perspective, instead of focusing on what's wrong with feeling jealous or sad or afraid or frustrated, whatever it is, instead of trying to get rid of any of these things, truthfully, as soon as you are accepting of them, and you say, okay, let me listen to you. What are you trying to tell me? You're a signal. You're part of me. What is it? And really listen with, to stretch it to sort of an advanced level, but something some people can do right away, is listen unconditionally.
But what if these are echoes of the past? You say that these are helpful, but what if it's the judgments that your parents were giving you when you were a child?
Yes.
And you just can't stop judging yourself in the same way because it's part of who you've become.
Exactly. And that is everything you're saying is exactly true. They are all voices from the past. Your 15th row critic only knows the past. Of course, it predicts the future based on the past, but it's all past based from your parents. And you are right on point, Peter. People try very hard with all kinds of approaches to get rid of the judgments that they heard, for example, from a parent. And then, of course, like you said, they keep judging themselves as part of the pattern, like rings of a tree, they're part of your development. You really will learn very quickly that as soon as you accept the judgments, in other words, dive deeper down into them and really listen to them, it's amazing. It's like the most fascinating alchemical process in the universe, that as soon as you're aware and you accept and really listen and learn how to release and let go, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It becomes minimal instead of a major barrier.
All right. Now, let's say I'm thinking of someone, for instance, whose parents always told her that she wasn't good looking enough and she had too much weight.
Right.
And so as an adult, she always attributes her failures or her trouble with people in that she's not good-looking enough and overweight, and therefore she doesn't get the respect of others.
Right.
And so that's just a constant script in her mind.
Exactly.
And so here she was in the 15th row, mm-hmm. and she was looking at what was on stage, what was just happening to her, and then she's up in the 15th row and saying, well, what do you expect? Look at you. You don't look so good. You're overweight. So what do you expect anyway?
Exactly.
Well, how does that help?
Okay. So what you're saying is step one, which is this woman, and I've worked with many people who were put on diets at 8 years old that weren't even overweight and have been on a diet for the last 40, 50 years, and were told they weren't attractive, they'd never be attractive to anybody else. I hear this often. Surprisingly, those old tapes, those old 15th row critic statements live on every day. So you hit the first point, which is awareness. So this woman or this man is sitting in the 15th row, and they see the whole scene on stage where their parents are telling them that they're not good enough or not attractive enough or whatever it is, and the 15th row is going on and on and on. Okay. The reason it goes on and on and on for that person and everybody else is because people actually try to get rid of it. They try to shut it up. They try to stop it. They try to make it go away. And, of course, like everything, if you try to repress something and get rid of it, it gets stronger and stronger.
So maybe if they get a good haircut or if they dress real nice, it'll hide this fault in them.
It goes on for decades. People trying to fix it on the outside, trying to shut up that 15th row critic, and exactly the opposite is necessary. They have the first step, which you brought up, Peter, which is awareness. They understand where it comes from. The second step is to accept that voice, to accept that 15th row critic.
Now someone is going to say to you, if I accept that voice, that means it's true.
Well, what happens with a lot of people is they're afraid to accept it because they're afraid it will go on even more, that it'll actually give it support, you'll become passive and compliant, it'll increase. But the exact opposite is true. As soon as you are aware and accept it and start to give it a voice, start to express it, usually within minutes, people feel much, much better. So in other words, we're not repressing it, fixing it, solving it, trying to get rid of it. We're saying, yes, okay, accept it, express it, give it a voice, and you unwind from it, and you start to feel better. And then you do it whenever it happens, and pretty soon it becomes automatic and second nature to move from that critic right to what I call your last row perspective, like sitting in the last row of the theater.
Well let's get there. Yes. Afterwards. I mean, I know we're going to end up in the last row because
Wonderful. That's
where we're going to find this voice.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, in the 15th row, if we're seeing ourselves being the critic,
mm-hmm.
I am getting to the back row because there's also, the awareness of it is almost a forgiveness of it.
Right. Well, just remember, because this is a subtle but key point, it's awareness with acceptance. Awareness alone is not enough. Just knowing, let me put it to you this way, having worked with many, many thousands of overweight people, almost everybody knows what they should eat. If you ever want to know anything about calories or carbs or fat, ask an obese person. They know everything. It's not a lack of information. So your 15th row critic knows what's wrong with your body, your eating, your exercise, your relationships, your self-esteem, your history. Most people are very smart. They actually have a lot of awareness, but they mix awareness with judgment. They mix awareness with 15th row criticisms. As soon as people start to make the bridge that they can go from awareness with judgment to awareness with acceptance of their judgment, and then move more with the acceptance, even of the fact that they're judging themselves, criticizing themselves, hearing their parents' voice, putting themselves down. As soon as they shift to awareness with acceptance and learn how to let go, release, which is very fun, from art to dance to singing to journaling to talking to yourself to breath work to visualizations. There's hundreds and hundreds of techniques, and there's so many in the book that it's impossible people won't find one that works for them.
That's true, and I've enjoyed reading the book because it had so many tools, and we're all different. We all like different tools, and you have so many choices.
Right. Well, I've been taught by all these people that I've worked with because everybody is so different. You know, no two people have the same DNA. No people have the same emotional makeup. No people have the same 15th-row critic. No people have the same last-row intuition. Everybody's so different, so we all have to find our own method, our own process. And that's why I put in all of those different techniques, is because I've been taught by so many great clients what worked for them.
Well, there's one little thing in there that actually shows up a number of times in the book, is a technique for putting your thoughts down on paper.
Right.
And I like that idea. I haven't tried it. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yes. You will be pleasantly surprised with that technique. That is a gold medal winner. I discovered that about 20 years ago when I was doing quite a bit of work with people who had what we now call PTSD from all kinds of childhood experiences, you know, traumas in the family, alcoholism in the family, divorce, depression, medical problems, just a lot of difficulties growing up, and people who had been in tragedies from war, from different countries. And learning how to journal is great. But the thing is, you don't want to just stir the soup and just kind of go over your feelings and go over your thoughts. So you have to, again, our theme is be aware, accept, and let go. So I learned to do this, and this works great with people right away. I have people journal with their eyes closed and with their writing utensil in their non-dominant hand. So when you are releasing emotions or you're releasing judgments from your 15th row, your eyes are closed. You're doodling, scribbling. Don't worry, you don't want anyone to read it anyway. And there's no reason to go back and reread it. It's all about the expressing and letting go.
You might not even be able to reread it yourself.
Nobody does. You can't read a damn thing. It looks like hieroglyphics and scribbles, and it looks like abstract art. And it's the letting go non-verbally. It's that non-dominant hand, because truthfully, you want your emotions, and you want your 15th row judge, critic, thoughts to become non-dominant, and you want your intuition, creativity, relaxation to become dominant. So I always have people finish their journaling with their eyes closed, but the writing utensil in their dominant hand, and that's where they come up with their own best resolutions and where they receive gifts from inside themselves.
And you're still writing with your eyes closed?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Whenever you close your eyes, you automatically go inside.
Right.
With your eyes open, you tend to get distracted and focus on external and outer things. And you're always going to find your best answers inside yourself. It's just a matter of how. And I love the how-tos. I'm passionate about learning new how-tos every day. And that eyes closed keeps you inside. The letting go emotionally with your non-dominant hand. Let releases, same with your 15th row releases. And then for your answers, you want to get to your dominant hand because you want your intuition to become dominant.
You know what's plugging me in right now, though, are people who are perfectionists in their writing.
Right.
And even though they can get to the dominant hand, you have to realize, I guess you need some experience with your eyes closed to have confidence that you can write that way and you're still going to be all right.
Well, it's so funny because it's playful.
Good.
It's relaxing.
Good.
It's okay to grow as a person and feel much better and enjoy the process. Everybody I work with always feels better right away and long term. Nobody feels worse before they feel better. It's like getting thorns out, just getting all this emotional stuckness and this physical discomfort stuckness and this mental stuckness. You're releasing it, and it feels great. So I've only seen people have a great experience. And you know, another point you're raising, Peter, which is key, is even when you're in your last row, with your dominant hand, eyes closed, coming up with your own answers, your 15th row critic may still be blabbing and saying, this isn't perfect. You're not doing this perfect. Maybe you're not doing this exactly as you should. It goes on and on and on. And you do have exactly what you're doing. You end up having a sense of humor about it. You end up expecting it. And actually being able to go back to the 15th row critic judge and then back to your last row, and you end up doing it the Peter way.
Right. And I like that word, not only expecting, but it goes with accepting.
Yes, exactly, Peter.
And that's, I think, the biggest point here is to lighten up.
Yes. Yes, and the only way to lighten up is to be 100% total. You're not going to fix, change, and solve yourself. You must be total about what you feel, from anger to sad to afraid to low self-esteem to frustrated to hopeful. You must really be total, 100% who you are emotionally, even the emotions that you don't want to have, because when you're 100%, they become bridges. Same with your mind and your 15th row critic. You have to be 100%. In fact, you have to be more of a perfectionist. You have to be more judgmental, more critical, because when you exaggerate it and really take it to the 100%, it's a bridge, not a wall. And then you have to learn how to be 100% intuitive, creative, relaxed, loving, compassionate. So it's 100% total, all of you, not the fix, change, solve, trying to be a certain way, not be a certain way, trying to be more like somebody else, less like yourself. It just doesn't ever end up working. Well, even if it makes rational sense.
I think the key is awareness.
With acceptance.
Right. So, in other words, it's not that you're going to try... Again, we have to come back to where we started. We're not trying to change anything.
No.
All we're doing is awakening to the process so we can take ourselves more lightly, and then in doing so, we can go deeper in.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, because you know specifically with weight loss, which is what 70% of Americans and certainly most countries are having the same kinds of challenges, that if you try to fix your body and try to lose weight and do all the things that you know you should, 98% of these people who lose weight gain it back or more. So as soon as you try to fix, change, solve, a part of you, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with your 15th row critic, digs in deeper and rebels and sabotages and focuses on what's wrong with your body or wrong with the diet or wrong with the way you're doing it. So you have to deal with all of you, and you have to deal with your whole inner team. You can't get rid of any of your inner team players. These are like rings of the tree. They're parts of you. They helped you cope through different ages and stages of life. And you have to utilize them, because if you try to fix them or get rid of them, they just get stronger and stronger, and you get more and more stuck.
Right. So as long as you're trying to cope, you're in the middle of the argument.
Yes. Coping takes a lot of energy. And if you're spending all your time coping, you're probably having a hard time moving forward. As soon as you move from coping to creating, people are so smart, Peter. People are so brilliant in coming up with their own answers. People come up with better answers for themselves than after 33 years in this field and doing it all the time. Much better answers than I would ever come up with.
Because they have to, because their DNA is different than yours.
Yes, and people are the smartest about themselves. The thing is, they're not able to get to their voice. They're not able to get to their last row, their smartness, because they're trying to not feel what they do feel or not think what they do think. So the paradigm shift in self-help with the book is that instead of trying to not feel what you feel or not think what you think, and as you said, try to fix, change, or solve it, you actually want to go deeper into it, be playful with it, learn how to really work with all of you, and lo and behold, people come up with the most brilliant creative solutions that are amazing to me. I'm amazed every time I work with people. And when I hear what people are doing with this, I'm amazed with what people come up with.
Now, also in the book, you have opportunities for people to stay light
mm-hmm.
and to use the world around them,
right,
and their own bodies also, to stay in a place of more peacefulness with themselves.
It's true. It's true. We all know Mother Nature is a great mirror. Whether you're watching the flowers grow, or the birds sing, or you know, the snow, the rain, the sunrise, the sunset, Mother Nature is a great teacher. So I always encourage people to learn and be part of and utilize all their senses, and even their sixth sense and their sense of adventure and their sense of humor, and to utilize what's happening outside of ourselves, because there's great opportunities there. There's great imagery. There's great ideas. And again, to really be able to be present outside or with other people, whether you're alone or in the middle of Mother Nature, you have to be able to get out of your own way, which means you really have to work with what you're feeling and what you're thinking. You could be out in Mother Nature and be thinking from your 15th row critic, it's really not that nice out. It's really kind of cold, and I don't really want to stand here, and I don't even know why I'm out in Mother Nature right now. I should be in the house on the couch watching TV and eating. Okay, so you accept that, I really don't want to be outside right now. And you give it a voice, your 15th row critic. Within 2 or 3 minutes, it's been expressed, it's relaxed, it feels heard, it's been listened to, it's out, and you're enjoying Mother Nature without even realizing that's what happened.
And I think that's so beautiful that you can actually acknowledge yourself.
Right.
And as long as you've acknowledged yourself, how long can you argue with it?
Exactly. It's amazing how these critical or upset feelings, once these parts of us really feel heard, really feel listened to, really have your attention, so you're actually giving your own caring attention to these different voices or difficulties, it's amazing the transformation that happens. The alchemy is amazing.
That's the point. I think that's very helpful, that when we see ourselves being upset about something, tell ourselves, let's see how upset we can get.
Right. Exactly. And you know what's funny about that, too, is people really get afraid. If I really accept and express my feelings, or if I really accept and express my 15th row critic, so I give my inner actress or actor on the stage a chance to have an unending monologue, and I give my 15th row critic a chance to be expressive as much as it wants, people are afraid that it'll go on for days, that it'll get worse. It goes on for minutes.
Right.
It's amazing how when you give yourself attention and you really say yes and you're going to listen, you're going to be accepting and expressing, it's amazing how fast people move through things. I mean, those parts of us, Peter, are actually very bashful.
Right.
It's the repression we've been, that makes them intense.
Right. We've been conditioned that we shouldn't misbehave.
Exactly. And you shouldn't get angry, and you shouldn't. Now, it is true that accepting and expressing your feelings like anger or jealousy or expressing your 15th row critic is always better if it's done by yourself. Because very few people are going to be able to take how sensitive you are or how judgmental you can be.
Right, you'll scare them.
You will. You'll overwhelm them. They're dealing with their own. So by giving yourself the opportunities, and I mean minutes, even moments, to accept and express your feelings, accept and express your 15th row critic, be able to get to your last row, communicate with people
now,
from your last row.
Now, we only have a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
And I like the fact that we're in the last row. And and that's the point, is that once we can get through this argument with ourselves, then there's nothing left to do but to be creative.
Right. Right. Well, being in this field as long as I've been in, when I first got into this field, I actually was taught the same way everybody's still being taught now, which is to step back, see the big picture, and basically what people learn to do with meditation, mind-body healing, all the different approaches, is to step back, but what happens is we step back to the 15th row. So we do step back, but our mind gets busy, it won't shut up, we focus on what's wrong with us. So what I discovered, we're working with all these different people, was we need to step back even further and allow that part of us that first steps back, that 15th row critic, to be there, work with it, but step even further back to what I call the last row, like the last row of a theater.
And that's the unconditional row.
This is where you focus on what's right about your life,
right.
What's right about you, what's right about other people.
But not only right. Because
right.
If it's only right, then you're still holding on to what's wrong.
Well, here's the thing. You're always going to hold on to what's wrong.
Okay.
It's impossible to get rid of it. While you're in the last row, focusing on what's right about your relationship or your body or yourself or your job or anyone or anything that's important to you, you're still going to have your 15th row critic focusing on what's wrong with them.
So
you or your body.
So love the process.
You're still going to have your feelings,
right.
Which are mixed or whatever they are. The thing is, you want to get your 15th row critic and your feelings to be non-dominant, and you want your last row, focusing on what's right about you, to be dominant.
Great. Now, Dr. Brian Allman, thank you. This is the book, The Voice, and it's available now, right?
It came out yesterday. It's in all the bookstores.
Oh, okay. Well, we're right on time.
Yes.
And Brian Allman, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. This has been so enlightening, and this book is entirely helpful. Everybody should be grabbing it.
Thank you so much, Peter. Pleasure being with you.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. Thank you so much for listening.